Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Want to say that I'm glad to know the Lord.
Amen.
Have a good and a working relationship with Him.
Amen.
By the help of the Lord.
Yes.
I'm also glad for the Holy Spirit. Brother Davion didn't know what I was preaching about this morning. I didn't talk to him about it, didn't run it by him, but that song is right and along with what the message is on today.
Yes.
It's talking about the necessity for us to be able to talk to the Lord about our needs and our problems, and I'm encouraged by that right now.
Yes.
Today. He's good to us, and He knows what we need. I need comfort sometimes. Sometimes when I get up before you, it ain't easy. Enemy wants to come against us, wants to discourage us, wants us to think that what we have, we heard it all before.
Right.
It's not very important, but God has a will and a purpose in this. And so what we want and what we want to do is we want to be what God would have us to be. Want to be pleasing and honoring in His sight. Want the Lord to lead and guide and direct this portion of the service. So I desire your prayers. The song, the title of the message today is prayer, and more specifically, how to pray. And I'm asking for your prayers this morning, ironically, because I'm going to need your prayers. The devil doesn't want you to know anything about the Lord. Don't want you to know that God loves you. Doesn't want you to know that He's here for us, to help us. And so what he does is he tries to hinder the truth of God's word. And so I'm praying right now that God would settle our hearts and settle our minds and open our hearts and minds to what He has for us, that He would rebuke and bind the powers of Satan and of hell. I come against us, and that God's will would be done this morning. Prayer is defined as communication between man and God.
Yes.
It's also defined as a solemn request for help.
Mm-hmm.
All right? It's also defined as, and it's addressed to God, it's also defined as a request or earnest hope or wish. It's also a religious service, prayer service, like what we have.
Yes.
You see, the enemy's trying to mess with me this morning, so be praying.
Thank you, Lord.
One thing we want to highlight is that prayer is between man and God.
Yes.
And so what God did is He created a way for us not only to have a relationship with us, but what He wants to do is He wants us to pray to Him.
Yes.
And so when we pray to Him, the process doesn't stop there. I want to encourage you about that this morning.
Yes.
We make our requests known unto God. We give God thanksgiving. And in return, He gives us His response. So it's a two-way relationship.
Yes.
I want to encourage us this morning that we need prayer. All right? It is imperative. It is absolutely necessary.
Yes.
It is vital. We can't go without it. All people need prayer, but especially the people of God, we need to pray, and we need the prayer, all right?
Yes.
Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. Do y'all know that scripture by heart? If you know that scripture by heart, say it right now. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, what does it say?
Pray without ceasing.
Pray without ceasing. So does that mean that you walk around mumbling all the time? Under your breath. What does that mean? To pray without ceasing. What does that mean?
Prayer
in your heart. A spirit of prayer. An attitude of prayer. We are to be, our default position is to be relying upon God at all times. And so in our hearts and in our minds, we want to have a mindset and an attitude of prayer. Whatever we are faced with, whatever we come up against, Lord, where are you?
Yes.
And what do you want to do about this?
Yes.
What do you want me to do in this situation? This is what God wants us to do. So God is instructing us here to pray without ceasing. In other words, have a spirit and a mind and an attitude of prayer. You understand that we are spirit and we are flesh. And so a lot of the things that we face are on the temporal side, on the natural side, and then a lot of things that we face are on the spiritual side. God is able to deal with the temporal, the natural. He's able to deal with the spiritual, the supernatural. He's able to deal with it all. And the way that we are able to address God and get the help that we need is through prayer.
Yeah.
praise God, this morning. So pray without ceasing, all right? Pray always, all right? There's another scripture that's found in Mark 14 and 38. Y'all know that one too? Mark 14, 38. I know you know it, but you might not know you know it. What does it say? You beat me there. Go ahead and read. Mark 14 and verse number 38.
Watch ye and pray.
Watch ye and pray.
Let ye enter into temptation.
Let ye enter not into temptation.
The spirit is
truly
ready. The spirit
truly is ready. Amen. All right, so it says, watch ye and pray. So now it's saying, watch and pray.
Yes.
We got a song in our songbook. I want somebody to go to song number 236 and verse number 2. It's in conjunction with this scripture. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit is truly ready, but the flesh is weak.
Yes.
And so you and I, we want to please the Lord. We want to be what God would have us to be. But if we're not watching, if we're not praying, if we're not in the attitude of prayer, the spirit is reeling, but the flesh is weak. The enemy enters in and he appeases to the flesh. And the flesh can have a response. A flesh can get fall into temptation. And so what we need is the spirit to be in a place where the spirit negates what the flesh wants to do. The flesh wants to reach out. The flesh wants to defend itself. The flesh wants to do something that has been tempting to us. But the spirit says, no, we're not doing that by the grace and help of God. And so this is what God is wanting us to do. He's wanting us to walk in the spirit so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. All right, this is all biblical. And so prayer and watching keeps us spiritually saved.
Yeah.
It keeps us physically saved. Why? Because God can say to us, listen, I don't want you to go there. I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to hang around those kinds of people.
Right.
God is able to do that because we're involving him in our lives at all times.
Yeah.
If we don't, then there's no telling what we might get into. What does that song say? Song number 236, verse number 2, what does it say? Watch and pray, the tempter might be near us.
Keep
thy heart with jealous care,
lest a door
a moment left unguarded,
evil
thoughts may enter there. Did you know that the thoughts that you're having, the evil thoughts, they are presented by the enemy of all souls? It's okay for you to not like what somebody did to you. It's okay for you to be upset about it, to be displeased about it. But when that thought is presented through the flesh, when he says, you should do this, you should do that, and they are this and they are that, that is from the enemy. All right? And so watching and praying and staying in a position where your heart is guarded against those things, this is what enables you to live a righteous and a holy life, to be pleasing unto God. And so things are going to happen, but you and I, by the help of God, through prayer, if those thoughts come, Lord, have mercy upon my mind. I don't want to think these thoughts. I don't want to do these things. I don't want to react and be this way toward these people. I'm asking you, have mercy upon me, Lord. God's able to do it. You see, but when we try to do it by ourselves, we're working with the flesh. The flesh has no strength. The flesh has no power. It's not going to help you do the right thing. The flesh works with the wrong side. And so that's why we have to die daily. That's why we have to watch and we have to pray.
Yeah.
We have to keep our heart. It says, keep your heart with jealous care for what? Out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with jealous care. Out of it are the issues of life. All right, so things are going to come against us, but we have to keep our heart with jealous care, and we got to be careful that nothing gets in our heart that would defile us, that would cause us to have issue with God. All right, now, so we talked about the necessity of prayer. So we're humans. We're needy beings by nature. If you don't believe you're a needy being, you're just not being reasonable with yourself.
That's right.
You might be a little confused.
Right.
I don't care who you are. Listen, I've thought this for a long time. I'm here to tell you this morning. I've come to terms with it. We're just needy people, and that's just the way it is.
Amen.
You need water, don't you?
Yes.
Need to eat, don't you?
Yes.
Need to sleep, don't you?
Yes.
What if you don't get that water, that food, that sleep? What if you don't get that? Cranky, aren't you?
Yes.
Tell the truth.
Yes.
walking around cranky, getting on everybody's nerves, everybody getting on your nerves. Right? We're needy people. We have to have these types of things. Guess where water and food and sleep and everything else come from? I'll give you a hint. It's that direction. It's that direction. See? We're needy people. Not only are we needy in a natural sense, but we're also very needy in a spiritual sense. All right? And so we're establishing that we need prayer, because prayer is not only a request to God, but what are we doing? We are acknowledging that I have a need that I need help with. Right? We can have the attitude, God knows I need it. God knows I need it, so why do I have to tell him? He already knows. Right? Part of prayer, I want you to remember this, you don't remember anything else. Humility is a prerequisite to prayer.
Yes.
You can say the words, you can go through the motion, but if your heart and your attitude is not humble before God, if you don't recognize that you have a need and that he needs to help you with it, or it's not going to be helped, you'll never get what you want.
Right.
I'll prove it here in when we get into this. It's proven in the Word of God. All right? But it's also proven in our life. Many times we go over and over again about something, we pray about something, but we haven't yielded to the will of God in our lives, and we have what we want to happen, and if it don't happen that way, then we don't, listen, it's not my way, Lord.
Amen.
Not my will, Lord, but your will be done.
Right.
And this is how you enter in. This is the very beginning of prayer. Let me not get too far ahead of myself. Y'all continue to pray for me. Matthew 6 and 5. Matthew 6 and 5 is where we want to look at prayer. And I want you to read verse number 5, verse number 6, and verse number 7, and then pause for me there, please.
And when thou prayest,
all right,
thou shalt not be as a hypocrite.
All right.
For they love to pray, standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men.
All right.
Verily I say unto you,
all right,
they have their reward.
Pause there for me, please. These are prerequisites. This is telling you how not to pray.
Right.
How not to pray. You can get up here and get fancy with it. And remember the publican and the Pharisee?
Yes.
Y'all remember that in Luke 18 and 10? Y'all remember that? What happened? The first guy, he came up. He said, I'm saved, and I'm this, and I'm that, and I'm the third. And Lord, let me tell you what I haven't done, and let me tell you how great I am. And see this guy over here? He's not very good. And so, therefore, don't worry about him. Worry about what I'm saying. Ain't that what happened? Luke 8, let's go to it. Before we get too far ahead of ourselves, let's go to Luke 18 and 10 and read down through verse number 14. See what it says. Two men.
One the Pharisee.
All right, one was a Pharisee.
The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself.
All right.
God, I thank thee, I am not as other men.
Okay.
Extortioners. Okay. Unjust, adulterers, or even as this public.
Right.
I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess.
All right.
And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes.
Lord help. Yes.
Merciful to me,
yes,
the sinner.
Amen.
I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other.
Amen.
For everyone that exalteth himself
will
be abased.
Be abased.
And he that humbleth himself
is going to be exalted. So you understand that what we can do is we can come to God with the wrong attitude in the first place. What this scripture is saying in Matthew 6 and 5 is don't, and in other parts of this chapter, it talks about some other things like alms and other things. We can do these things with an attitude that, Lord, I deserve this, and you better give it to me, because if you don't, then you're not right. We got the wrong idea.
Yes.
And the other thing we can do is we can do it in front of other people so they can see how great we are. That's the wrong idea.
Yeah.
That's the wrong idea. Humble yourself. Before you come to God, you say, Lord, help me. Have mercy upon me. I want to come. You're not coming to a man. You are coming to God Almighty.
Yes.
the creator of the universe. And so the mindset needs to change before we come to God. Lord, maybe you have to do a pre-prayer. Lord, help me to humble myself first before I can even come to you, Lord. Because yes, I have needs, and yes, they are urgent. But Lord, ultimately, you said you'd take care of me, and I believe that, Lord. And so I'm asking you, help me, Lord. My mother used to say something, and I believe that she wasn't the only one, and I've seen people do this. She said, pray, what else?
Until
you pray. Pray until you pray. Pray until you pray. And so sometimes you got to get down on your knees, find your closet, find your place where it's just you and God, and you get down in the dust of humility, and you pour your heart out to God until he meets you. Pray until you pray. All right, verse number 6, what does it say?
But thou without prayer.
When you pray,
go in your closet.
Shut the door.
Shut the door.
Pray
to thy Father, which is in secret.
All right. All right, so don't be showing off and don't be competing with nobody. Go in the closet. Don't be like the Pharisee. Go in the closet. Go somewhere. You can't always do that, but what the idea is, what the reason why you're praying and how you're praying, that's what's being presented here. We're not showing off and we're not competing with nobody. We're trying to get something from the Lord. All right, go ahead.
But when you pray, use not vain repetitions.
Don't use vain repetitions. All right, pause there for me, please. Some people, you go to church and you all say the same thing. It's scripted, you got these chants, you got these repetitious things that you say. Don't you find that interesting that the Bible says don't do that? It's not form, it's not fashion. When we come to God, how do we come to God? We're coming from the heart.
Yeah.
Lord, this is a relationship.
Yeah.
There's love. God is love, right? The goodness of God leads sinners to repentance. And so if I have repented, I've come to God, then the love of God has called me, and I feel his love, and I want my love to extend to him. This is how we pray. Come to God in this way. All right. Sometimes people want to cookie cutter it. They want to make it some kind of some fancy speech. No, it's not about that. What is in your heart? Remember in that last reading, Luke 18 and 10, verse number 13 or 14, it said the brother said, "Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner." That's all he said. Wasn't nothing fancy, wasn't nothing prescripted. When you come, I want to encourage you this morning. When you come to God with a need in your heart, you don't have to know a whole bunch of the whole thesaurus and all the Merriam-Webster's and all that. You don't need none of that. All you need is your heart and truth and honesty before the Lord. Humble yourself, say, "Lord, this is what I got and this is what I need. Would you have mercy upon me?" This is how you come to God.
Right.
All right? Come to God in that way. God, and see what happens.
Yeah.
All right, so here we are, verse number 7, I believe. Let's read.
Verse 7 is, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions."
All right.
"As they think that they shall be heard, but for their much speaking."
Keep reading.
"Be not ye therefore like unto them."
Yes.
"For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of."
Yes.
"Before you ask him."
Yes. Pause there, please. Somebody go to Isaiah 64 and 6. Somebody else get Lamentations 3 and 22. If you know it by heart, somebody give me Lamentations 3 and 22. What does it say? "It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed." Why? "His compassions fail not." All right? Because, listen, when we come to God, we have to realize that. Nothing that I have done there's nothing that I have done. Unless God be merciful to me, unless God help me, we are consumed. Consumed is used in conjunction with fire. Fire is consuming.
Right?
Right? And so unless God have mercy upon us, we'll be consumed. What does fire do? It utterly and completely destroys. It leaves ashes. What can you do with ashes? Not much. Am I right? So because of the Lord's mercy, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. So when we come to God, that's the mindset that we're coming to God in. Lord, unless you be merciful to me, unless you help me, I'm going to be done in and done over by the enemy of all souls. I'll do myself in if he don't do it, because it's not in man that walketh to direct his step. I don't have the ability to do this, Lord. This is the mindset that we come to God in. All right? What's the other verse? Isaiah 64:6.
But we are all as an unclean thing.
All right.
And all our righteousness as are as filthy rags.
You can stop right there. All our righteousness is as filthy rags.
Right.
The point is, I don't have any righteousness of my own.
Right.
There's nothing that is good about me other than what God is doing in, with, and through me.
Right.
Nothing that I have is of import, all right? And so when I come to God, I have to have that kind of mindset.
Yes.
If I'm saved, it's because he saved me. I didn't save myself. If I've done some good, it's because he put the good in me, and now I'm able to do good unto others. Because I promise you, without God, it wouldn't be that way.
Right.
It wouldn't be that way.
Yes.
I might do the good thing, but for the wrong reason.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? This is the Lord, and the Lord, we have to realize as people of God, it's him. It is him that does it all.
Yes.
We got to bring our will to him.
Yes.
We got to come to him in humility and in faith and say, Lord, change me, help me, make me better, Lord. I want to be what you'd have me to be. And God can move and he can work through these types of things.
Yes.
As long as pride is in the way, you will never get anywhere with God.
That's right.
True.
May God help us. But the good news is I may be a naturally prideful person. Some people got maybe more pride than others, just naturally. That's just the way they came.
Yes.
But when we're coming and we're dealing with God, we got to lay that down.
Yes.
Lay aside every weight and sin
yes.
that will so easily beset you. Run this race with patience that's set before you, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith.
Yes.
All right? Lay that aside. Lord, look, matter of fact, if you have to, do what I do. Lord, help me to humble myself, because I'm going to be honest with you, Lord. I'm having a problem with my pride right now, because what he said to me, he shouldn't have said that. He said, I ain't did nothing to him. You know, the hardest thing to do is when you haven't done anything to somebody, the hardest thing to deal with, and they do you in, it's hard.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard. You're holding on for dear life. Lord, help me.
Yeah.
I need to, Lord, bless my tongue, bless my mind.
Yeah.
Help me, Lord.
Yes.
The point is, Christianity is that it's not that you're not tempted.
Right.
It's not that you don't go through things and have problems to deal with and overcome. How you going to be an overcomer if you didn't have to overcome anything?
Right.
Be an overcomer, only cowards yield.
Right.
How you going to be an overcomer if there's nothing to overcome? It's
right.
not that you don't have a fight to fight. Fight the good or fight of faith. Lay hold upon eternal life.
Yeah.
There is a fight to fight.
Yeah.
There is something that you have to overcome.
Yeah.
So it's not that you get to a place where things don't ever affect you anymore. They do affect you. The victory is in when you're able, through God's help, to be an overcomer.
Yes.
The victory is in when you give God the praise after he has blessed you to and through the trial and the test. It's not that it didn't affect you. It's that you said, Lord, have mercy upon me. Help me here. I want to do right. I want to do better. And he came down, and by his grace and
yes.
by his mercy and by his help, that's how you overcame.
Yes.
All right. So God's able to do that for us. He wants to do that for us. And so he's trying to teach us this morning how to come to him. All right? How to come to him. And then what to be concerned about when we come to him. Let's read a little bit more in Matthew 6.
Verse 9.
Verse 9.
In this manner, therefore, pray ye.
All right.
Our Father which art in heaven.
All right.
Hallowed be thy name.
Stop there, please.
Mm-hmm.
What does hallowed mean? What does hallowed mean? We know, everybody probably knows this scripture.
Yeah.
But what does sacred? What else? Revered, holy, right? So when we come to God, our Father which art in heaven said with me, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Pause there. So when we come to God, this is one of the things that can hinder us too, is having our hearts and our minds divided. Okay? When I come to God and I'm hallowing him, our Father which art in heaven, first of all, I'm only wanting your help, Lord. I don't have a backup plan. I'm not going to go to anybody else if this don't work out. I'm coming to you because this is what I need from you. And so by default, all other help, I'm leaving that behind and I'm seeking you right here, right now. I'm talking to the great God of heaven. Hallowed be your name, the Holy One of Israel. I need your help right now today.
Yes.
What can happen is we can come to God, but we are still conflicted about where we're going to get our help from. I'm not really sure if he's going to be able to help me, or if he can help me, or if he will help me. So therefore, in my back pocket, I got this backup plan. You think God don't see that backup plan in your back pocket? Do you want his help, or do you want the backup plan? So when we come to God, we say, Lord, I want your help in this situation. Okay, so I got a problem with faith. Do you know that sometimes our faith ain't as strong as it need to be? I said our faith. I didn't say your faith. I said our faith.
Yeah.
I'm including myself in it. I'm including myself especially. And so I can come to God and say, Lord, I don't have the faith for this. My faith is not there yet. And so first of all, I got to pray and ask you and help, Lord, help me to believe that you can do it and that you'll do it for me. First, I got to pray that prayer. And then I can ask for what it is that I want. But in my mind, in my heart, if I don't believe you're going to do it for me anyway, or that it can be done, how can I get it?
Right. Yeah.
I'm praying to the great God of heaven.
Amen.
I'm praying to the one that spoke the world into existence thousands of years ago and is still spinning on its axis in the universe.
Yeah.
All right? That's who I'm praying to. And so can he do it? That's without question. But sometimes I suffer with belief. And so, Lord, I believe. What else?
Help
thou my unbelief.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to believe fully and completely. I need your help because I can't come to God and be conflicted. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Let's pause there.
Yeah.
What are we asking when we say thy kingdom come, thy will be done? What is that really saying? What's it say?
Surrender.
All right, surrender. Yes, yes, all of that. Listen, how is his kingdom going to come? And how is his will going to be done if you and I don't do it, people of God?
Yes.
You think his kingdom going to come some other kind of way? It ain't going to come no other kind of way. It's got to be done in and through me. So I talked about this before. The Christian walk is the walk where God's will supersedes and takes preeminence or is the most important thing in my life.
Right.
Every other thing comes after that.
Right.
All right, so when I pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, what I'm by default saying is my will is less important than your will, God. I can even be asking for something, but I'm asking with the understanding that your will, if your will is not this, then don't give it to me, Lord. His kingdom is a kingdom of light.
Yeah, amen.
His kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
In contrast, the kingdom of darkness is the enemy's kingdom.
Yeah.
It's the kingdom of lies and falsehood and untruth. It is awful and unclean. That's the kingdom of darkness.
Right.
And so we want his kingdom to come. We want it to grow, to progress, to gain in strength. And how that's going to happen is through you and through me. May God help us. God help us. We want truth to prevail. We want righteousness to prevail. We want goodness to prevail on earth as it is in heaven. It can only come by me being willing to allow the will of God to be done in and through me. It's the most important thing in my life. Lord, I'm not there yet. That could be where we're at.
Yeah.
Okay, let's be honest. And so what do we do? What do we do when we're not there? If we're being honest with ourselves and we see that, Lord, I do want your will to be done. I do want it to be done. But being honest, my will is kind of important to me too, Lord. Lord, help us.
Yes.
Don't get quiet on me now. It's true anyhow.
Yes.
Bring that to the Lord. Bring that to the Lord.
That's right.
He knows that.
Yes.
He knows that we are flesh.
Yes.
And we have these kinds of problems. Why did he tell us to die daily? Why did he say, if any man would follow me, then let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me.
Yes.
He knew that was going to be an issue.
Right.
Because you and I, little babies, want they way. You think we got rid of that in babyhood?
No.
We are naturally, we just like to have our way if we can.
True.
What we're not considering is that really, what we really want is we want to go to heaven.
Yes.
Amen.
What we really want is we want to please the Lord.
Yes.
We want his kingdom to come and his will to be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Yes.
And sometimes when our will is in the way, that becomes very obscured and muddled and unclear.
Mm-hmm.
And so God wants to clear us up on those levels.
Yes.
And what God can do, it says in the Word of God, one of my favorite scriptures, y'all know what it is. It's God that worketh in us.
Yes.
Both to what?
Yes.
To will.
Yes.
And to do of his good pleasure.
Yes.
So my will, both to will, my will is a problem. I've got to bring that to the Lord. And so I brought it to him one time and nothing changed. I still want my way. I brought it to him twice. Nothing changed. I still want my way. 3 times, 10 times, 1,000 times. I'm encouraging you. You be like Jacob when he was wrestling with the angel.
Yes.
If your thigh go out of place.
Yes.
If you got to wrestle to the drake a day.
Mm-hmm.
You ask the Lord, I need this to change.
That's
because
right.
Ultimately, it's all good while we're living. But we still have to meet him in eternity.
Yeah.
And we do want to be on the good side of that meeting, don't we?
Yeah.
And so sooner rather than later, my will has to become subservient to his will.
That's right.
What you'll find is that he's got a good way for you anyway.
Sure.
That's what you don't know. That's the hidden secret of Christianity, of true Christianity and righteousness. His will is better for you than your own will.
Amen.
Remember that the Lord told us one time that he can see the end from the beginning and everything in between because he's looking down on it like this?
Yeah.
And what do we see? Right, what's in front of us. So God can see how our life needs to go. So we're in this kind of a maze, and we need God to lead and guide us and direct us and around and through and under and over until we make heaven our home. May God bless and help us this morning.
Amen.
We need him to do that. We don't have God's way is best. I will not murmur, although what? The end I may not see. Wherever he leads, I'll meekly follow. God's way is best for me. And so when I'm praying, that's the mindset that I have to learn to attain and take with me. Listen, God will get you there. You want to get there, God will get you where. You want me to tell you a secret? I wasn't always there. That's the truth. And God has taught me this. He says, take my way upon you and what? And learn of me. I'm meek and lowly. The meek will he guide in judgment what? The meek will he teach his way. God knows that it's a learning way. And some of us have more of a learning curve than others. But a patient and a loving and a kind and a merciful and a good God, one that would not want anybody to perish, but that all should have everlasting life. You think he won't work with you? I'm here to tell you this morning, he will work with you. I'm a witness to that. No matter what your problem is, he's able to do it. All right, read a little bit more. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right?
Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread.
Pause there for us, please. What's daily bread? Somebody talk to me. Daily bread. What's that all about? The food that we eat, right? That's it, right? Clothes we wear, shoes we walk around in, right? Is it talking about that, though? It's talking about that as well as. All right, God, remember when Jesus was fasting for 40 days? And the devil tempted him to turn the stone into bread, right? What did he say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. All right? In the beginning was what?
Word.
The Word. And the Word was?
God.
With God. And the Word what?
God.
Was God. Daily bread. You understand? The Word of God is your daily bread. As well as, so what it's talking about here is it's talking about our temporal needs. You know what temporal means? Temporal means temporary.
Right.
We're pilgrim and strangers here, right? Yeah. So it's the temporary needs. I need food. I need clothing. I need a house. I need a car. I need a job. What all those things. God's going to take care of all of those things.
Yeah.
But it's also most importantly talking about, because God, what kind of God would he be to put a spirit in us and then only deal with the temporal needs that we have?
Right.
He wants to deal with the whole of mankind.
Yeah.
So the temporal needs, the spiritual needs, the emotional needs, the whatever needs you got, this is what it's talking about in terms of daily bread. God is going to provide our daily bread, whatever challenges the day may give us.
Alright?
Now, may the Lord help us this morning. Sometime we want him to provide for the next million dailies. Sometimes we won't provide for that. But that ain't what the prayer said to pray for. Give us this day our daily bread. This day. This day. Not tomorrow. Not a month in advance. I'm not telling you don't save your money. I'm not telling you. That's between you and the Lord. What I'm saying is, when Jesus was teaching us how to pray, because Jesus is the one that's talking here. Is it? Is he talking?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Then. Want to make sure we got that right.
Yeah.
He's teaching us how to pray. He said, pray for your daily bread.
Yes.
Remember that scripture that says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's gonna take care of itself. Sufficient to the day is the needs thereof. Okay, so what we have to understand is we only get one day to live in at a time anyway.
Yes.
I want to encourage you this morning that when the Israelites were as what we are now. We're the Lord help. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were the chosen people.
Yes.
In the New Testament, all of us can be chosen if we accept the call.
Right.
Yes. So if you're saved, you're the new Israelite in that term. I'm not talking about all that other stuff they be talking about. Online, okay? But what I'm saying is, there's a parallel here.
Right.
Remember in the Old Testament, when they was wandering around in the wilderness, we don't have no food, we don't like our food, what'd he do? All right then. Daily bread.
Uh-huh.
Daily bread.
Yes.
He's got us. Give us this day our daily bread. If you don't know where it's coming from, he's going to take care of you. He is going to take care of you. He loves you. Just like you would not neglect your little children, just like a mother or a father would go hungry to feed their children, how much more? And God don't have to go hungry. You understand? He's going to feed you and I. So give us this day our daily bread on a temporal side. Give us this day our daily bread on the spiritual side. All right? And then do what? I want to spend a little. Y'all going to have to be patient with me this morning, because I'm going to spend a little time on these few other scriptures. Give us this day our daily bread and do what?
And forgive us our debt.
Hold on now. What debt? What debt? What are you talking about debt? Debt? Who do I owe? What are you talking about? Huh? Who do I owe? Forgive us our debts. Huh? Do we owe a debt?
Yes.
What's the Bible say? All have sinned and come short. See, this is why we can't get big-headed.
Right.
We all in it. Believe it or not, we might be at different stages of the journey, but we all in the same journey.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
So big head, it don't even apply. We're all on the level, and I don't care what you did, and I don't care what you didn't do. Sometimes in our lives, what happens is we start feeling better than other people because we haven't done what they did. But guess what? They haven't done what somebody else did. And it goes on and on and on. And the Bible says if you die in your sin, where you go, where he is, you can't come. So it don't matter how little sin you did or how much sin you did. And another thing is, just because you haven't doesn't mean that you wouldn't. It's a whole bunch of people that sin took them way farther than they wanted to go. Okay? So with nobody's special like that. You understand? We're all special to God, but nobody's better than anybody else. Okay? And so, Lord, forgive us our debts. I want to talk about that in two ways. The one is the sin that if God didn't forgive us our debt of sin, then it would be hopeless. Absolutely, completely, and entirely hopeless. But also, we are living in this life. Remember, I told you that we are needy people. And listen, I want you to, don't raise your hand. I shouldn't say that. We're striving, let's say it this way. We are striving for perfection.
Yeah. Yeah.
But sometimes we miss the mark.
Right. Yes.
Lord, have mercy on me, Lord.
Yes. Yes.
I didn't do so well with that one, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Please forgive me, Lord. Mm-hmm. And what does he do? He forgives us.
Yes.
He forgives us.
Yes.
And he helps us to do better as we go forward. It says, forgive us our debt as we forgive what?
Yes.
As we forgive our debtors. This is why we can't hold people
through.
I don't care what they did or didn't do.
Right.
We can't hold them.
That's right.
Because we owe somebody a debt too. We done some people wrong.
Yes.
We done God wrong.
Yes.
And he forgave us. And so, Lord, help us. What this part of the portion of the prayer is, Lord, help me to remember that I'm not all that. I'm going to need your forgiveness.
Yeah.
You've already forgiven me before. Not only that, but I'm going to need somebody else that's walking around this earth to forgive me from time to time.
Yeah.
It keeps us on a level playing field and gives us an understanding of where we're at.
Yeah.
Amen.
Sometimes we like to keep score.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they got me that time. Okay, that's one. Okay, they almost got me that time. That's one and a half.
Right?
Okay, they definitely got me. That's at least worth two or three. Where we at? Two, three, four, four and a half. We at four and a half right now. Lord help us. I might not have did nothing to them lately. I might not never have did nothing to them, but I've done something to somebody.
Right.
And I might do something to somebody. I don't want to do anything to somebody. I don't aim for that. And God has helped me and blessed me. I'm better than what I used to be. But I'm not in heaven yet.
You're right.
I'm not in heaven yet.
Yes.
This will help you in your relationship. This concept right here. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Yes.
Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us.
Right.
Remember that just because you didn't do it against that person, you did it against somebody, or you might do it against someone, and you're going to need their forgiveness.
Amen.
You're going to need God to forgive you, right? It keeps us humble, and it helps our relationships.
Amen.
That humility. Humility helps relationships.
Yes.
Pride goeth before what?
Destruction.
And a haughty spirit before a fall. Right? All it takes is one thing.
Yes.
You hurt me, I'm mad at it, and I'm never, ever going to forgive you. All right? Just one thing. About 10 years later, 50 years later, you're still holding on to that thing. It has germinated and grown. You got a spirit of unforgiveness now.
Right.
You got a bitterness in your heart. You got some anger growing in there, some hatred. All right? And you can make a big deal out of anything. Somebody looked at you, they shouldn't have looked at you.
Right.
Somebody didn't look at you, they should have looked at you.
Uh-huh.
All right. So what God is doing is he's taking all of that away in one fell swoop.
Amen.
Lord, help me to have an attitude of forgiveness. And Lord, if I need your forgiveness, I'm asking you to forgive me. And those that need to forgive me, Lord, I'm praying and I'm asking that they would. I want to have good relationships with not only you, but with my mankind as well.
Yes.
Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do what? Don't lead us into temptation. All right, so here is something that we want to talk about as well. Lead us not into temptation. What can happen is God can be with us in such a way that we can recognize temptation a mile away and never have to be involved with the issue of that temptation.
Right.
I'll give you an example, a typical example. You're a young man and you're out and about and you see a young lady that is dressed a certain way and looking at you in a concerning way.
Hmm.
Let's talk about where we live.
Yeah.
Should you A, approach her and tell her how nice she looks? Nothing wrong with telling people how nice they look, is it? Not illegal, is it? That's not spiritually illegal, is it? But is there danger there, though? Is there danger? All right? Avoid that, right? Avoid that. You remember, you're a human being. I've been saved for a long time. I'm a minister, but I'm not doing that. Why? Because I don't want to lead us not into temptation. I don't need to go in that direction. Young women, don't act like that don't happen to you either. Some strong and strapping young gentleman looking at you, tell you how nice your hair is. You just did your hair, so you know your hair is nice. Right? Thank you and keep it moving. Right? So that's one way. Lead us not into temptation. We need to be aware of, watch and pray, right? We're watching, we're careful, we're prayerful, and we want to make sure that we're staying away from anything that can ensnare and entrap us and cause us harm. Because what can happen is when we start moving in that direction, that temptation gets stronger, and as that temptation gets stronger, our will gets weaker, and then we fall into that thing, and then now we need that scripture that we just read before. You see? But what we can do is we can recognize that thing, and we can say, no, devil, not today.
Right.
Not today, devil. Matter of fact, not any day, by the grace and help of God. All right?
Amen.
All right.
Lead
us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Sometimes we need deliverance because the temptation, and God allows it, I'll prove it to you, God allows it, the temptation just come upon you. You didn't do anything to put yourself in harm's way. Remember Joseph?
Yeah.
And Potiphar, right? What happened? Temptation was chasing him around, wasn't it?
Right.
He didn't do anything. He wasn't looking for no problems, but the problems came. Sometimes we get in a situation where, and God knows this, right? If you didn't put yourself in that situation, he knows that.
Yeah.
He says, my grace is sufficient for you.
Yeah.
My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Right? And so he knows that the temptation that came upon you, that you didn't put yourself in, you're in it and you need deliverance. And so, Lord, deliver me from evil. Deliver me from this unrighteousness, this ungodliness that will come into my life and harm not only me, but my relationship with you, and harm me by making me into something that, Lord, you never intended for me to be. Because now other people got to suffer. You see how that works? When the devil gets in there and he's doing something to you and he's working with you, whether it be love not the world, maybe it's the world that's tempting us, or maybe it's the devil and his kingdom, maybe it's self, whatever it is that's got the upper hand on us, if we don't get a hold of that thing and ask God to have mercy upon us and help us and deliver us from that thing, forgive us for the failure that we may or may not have had, then what we, if we don't do that, then not only does it damage us, but it damages our relationship, most importantly, with God,
yes.
And then it damages our relationship with others.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a triple attack. And so we need God to help us,
yeah.
And to keep us and to deliver us when we need help from the
yeah.
Lord.
Yeah.
All right, deliver us from evil. What does it say after that?
13th
verse. All right. Amen. All right. So we're done here. Continue to pray for me and continue to work and learn about these scriptures right here. This will help your relationship with God. The last scripture says, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Brother Darrell has a series on God's authority. What you and I need to know is that there is no temptation. There is nothing that can overthrow you when you are kept by the power of God. The problem is when we get out of the safety zone. All right? But when we keep ourselves in God's hand, God has the authority to say no to not only us and help us to say no to ourselves, but to say no to whatever it is that's coming against us. This is how, see, a Christian is only good because God is in them and he's working in and through them. I talked about that before. This is what empowers them. And so I have no power in and of myself other than my will. I do have the power to make a choice on who I'm going to serve and who I'm going to live for.
Yeah.
But if I choose to live for God, then God's power comes in and gives me power over myself, over the world, and over the enemy. And so when the temptation comes, I can tell all of those enemies that I'm not going in that direction by the help and grace of God.
Yeah.
All right? He saves us, and he keeps us, and he keeps us clean by the grace and help of God.
Amen.
May God help us this morning. My goal and my desire is to make heaven my home. I had an incident recently that really tested me on that whole forgiveness thing. And what I found that, and I've known this before, is that when I came to the Lord the first time, I asked him to help me. He helped me, but I needed some more help.
Yeah.
And so then I had to go back again a second time and a third time. And the point is, when it's in our minds to please the Lord and it's in our hearts to please the Lord, we stop counting how many times it takes. It don't matter how many times it takes.
Right.
I want to please the Lord. I want to make heaven my home. I want him to be pleased with me.
Yeah.
And so whatever it takes for me to get this feeling that I'm having and I'm thinking about this person and how they, no, I want that gone from me. I don't want that hindering my life. And so God can help us to do that.
Yeah.
I appreciate your time and your attention, your prayers for me. It's my desire to make heaven my home. My other desire is to not go alone. I want somebody else to go with me. So help me, Lord, to live in a way that be pleasing unto you. I'll be a light and example. And then what I say and what I do will be a blessing and help to somebody else.
Amen.